So, welcome to Adelaide Chronicles, a platform.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, all about inclusion and all about sustainability, which is just about covers everything these days, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we're doing this interview on unceded Kaurna land at Christie Walk, where I live. And thank you for coming along and doing this.
You're most welcome.
I'd like to put a scenario to you.
Sure.
That just imagine if somewhere in Adelaide a philanthropist or someone or government decided that it would be a really great idea to have just a jobs guarantee and everything about it was exactly like you wanted and that you're heading this up. This is your project.
Ah, okay.
And you're heading this up. So if they just said, sure, Gabby, you can have it. How are you going to do it?
Okay, well, I think I'd be focusing on two main areas, which is the looking at the work that needs doing. So caring work and climate work would probably be my two big priorities. So, you know, there is such a lot of work to do to restore and to get back to improve on where we are in terms of looking after the native land that we've got and, you know, things like urban cooling, redesigning our cities and our suburbs, improving tree canopies, all of that stuff, capturing stormwater. There's tons and tons and tons and tons of work to be done.
So much work that could be done.
I mean, imagine if every development looked like Christie Walk. Wouldn't that be amazing, you know? The stuff that you're doing here is just an absolute inspiration for what it could be like. And there are plenty of good developments, but there's also plenty of shocking ones, you know?
Mount Barker's a classic example.
Yeah, that's completely true. So I'd be focusing on those two areas. So with a job guarantee, it would have to be decent paid work for all that wanted it. So I wouldn't be advocating for any sort of program where it's compulsory. I think people should have the option to do it or not as they choose and to do as much of it as they want as well, up to full time. So if you only want to work 2.5 days a week, that's totally fine. If you want to work 5 days a week, that's totally fine. There'll be enough work to give meaningful work to everybody who wants to participate.
So if you work 2 days a week as opposed to five, do you get the same amount of money?
No, because you'd be paid for your hours. So I think in the type of job guarantee that that Stephen Hale talks about, our economist friend, you'd be looking at minimum wage or better for full-time work. So because the jobs would mostly be entry-level jobs. So we're not talking about like highly skilled jobs that would displace people who are already working in, environmental management or those sorts of things. We'd be looking at working alongside of those people. So there's plenty of work to be done that is not profitable. So in the usual sense, so nobody does it. Do you know what I mean? So I think that would be the first part. So we'd be looking at a minimum wage, a livable wage, probably more than the current minimum wage if that was what people were, you know, if that was something that we could get past politically, so lifting the minimum wage. But then there would also have to sit alongside that a kind of safety net for the people who, for whatever reason, decided or weren't able to take part, decided they didn't want to take part or they had other reasons for not taking part. So we would definitely not have it as something which is like a compulsory part where if you don't participate, you get nothing at all. And some job guarantee advocates do support this, and they have, they make the arguments about participation and mutual respect and obligation. And okay, yes, those arguments are valid in a sense, but I think if I was in charge, I'd want to make it a voluntary program.
But the people who work 5 days a week would get a lot more money than the people who choose not to work at all?
Yeah, well, they get about twice as much.
Twice as much.
But you could broaden it out to all sorts of different things that count as work. So, you know, artistic pursuits could easily be considered full, you know, a full-time or a job guarantee type job. So there's plenty of ways that you could take part. I'm just sort of looking at the two big areas of what's needed, which is caring work, caring for people, elderly people, young, like children and preschool kids as well, and the work to restore the environment. Those are the two biggest areas. But there's plenty of other things that could become... I mean, citizen science, that's a huge area. People could get paid in a job guarantee to, you know, go out and take measurements and find out how many insects are in a
and
certain...
And it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, count birds and mammals, or measure things, or track the weather, or, you know, there's so much useful work that can be done.
So yeah. Will people have a job description?
Yeah, I think the way it would probably work best is if local councils were able to come up with a kind of what Stephen would call a jobs bank. So they would list off the work that needs doing, and then you'd have a, if you were coming into the job guarantee, you'd have an interview with a person who is like a job guarantee counsellor or job guarantee administrator, and you would find something that suits your skills and the amount of time you want to work and your abilities. And then if that wasn't working out for you, you know, you could probably ask to try something different, and you could take part in training programs towards other skills that you wanted to develop. All those options would be available, yeah.
Would those people need a union?
Absolutely, yes. You could have a job guarantee workers union, for sure. And that way you could make sure that the job guarantee is never run for profit, that people aren't exploited. It would just be like a safeguard. And yeah, I'd definitely support that.
So in this ideal world, and you're in charge of it,
yeah.
How does it affect people's well-being?
I think it would really have a massive impact on people's well-being in a positive way. I think the evidence is in that most people do want to work if they have a choice, and that not being able to work is very detrimental to your mental health and your self-esteem and your well-being. And that's been shown, that consistent chronic unemployment is actually, you know, something that people find very hard to recover from. You know, major life events like losing a loved one or, you know, surviving a natural disaster can also knock you about a bit. But the impacts of chronic unemployment, long-term unemployment, have been shown, I believe, to be, you know, even more pervasive than people who have had major adverse life events. It's just something that really seems to be one of our most difficult and hard to deal with mental health challenges, yeah.
So would there be queues of people, job queues? You know, some of the jobs that you're talking about would be sort of more favourable than others. Some people might think, oh, I really like that. I really like walking along the beach and picking up
yeah,
stuff.
Or walking dogs. Or potentially, yeah. You know, there probably would be, you know, areas where people were more keen to take part than others. It would be, I don't know how you would manage that. Maybe you'd have to kind of have a roster where you could do a bit of this and a bit of that and swap month by month or week by week, perhaps.
And perhaps the people that are setting out the roster would have the same employment guarantee and the same sort of income as the people.
That's quite possible. Yeah, you could have a lot. There'd be a lot of administrative work for sure. And then there would be also some higher level jobs involved as well, which probably would be outside of the job guarantee program, but would be hopefully paid for under the same financial arrangement. Yeah.
And how economically viable are you now managing this?
Well, our funding in this hypothetical amazing program, our funding would be coming from the federal government. So, and as we know from learning modern monetary theory, we can afford to pay for anything that where the real resources exist. So the real resources we're talking about here are people who are unemployed that want to work, so a labour resource, and the resources that they need to do their jobs. So if we, you know, if we needed a million trees to plant in a week, we wouldn't have it. So there would be some, you know, there would be some sort of practical and physical problems that we'd have to solve for sure. Yeah, but all of this could happen within a very short space of time, like less than a year, we could get this up and running.
What you're basically saying is Adelaide could lead the way in this. We could do it.
We could. I think with a job guarantee program, the type that we're talking about, we'd want it to be a national program so that nobody misses out. You know, unemployed people in places other than Adelaide are no less deserving, but why not? Yeah, let's do it in Adelaide for sure.
I look forward to that future.
Well, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah. If I'm allowed a little plug, I'd like to tell your listeners about an event that we're running in January, which is a two-day workshop about the exact type of questions that I've just been talking about with Sue. And it's called The Case for a Job Guarantee. That's the title of the event. And you can find it on Facebook or on Trybooking, which is where we've advertised it. And yeah, we're going to be spending a weekend at the joinery on the 8th and 9th of January talking about all of these questions, and it's a participation event. So it's not the event where you'll be listening to expert speakers. It's more a citizens assembly / deliberative democracy type event that we're running.
So I love that.
Yeah, please come along.